We're going to switch our focus now, though, to the Nemo Rangers GAA complex in Cork, because the race to be the remaining or the additional four MEPs elected alongside Sean Kelly, who was elected the day before last, goes on, and the count still goes on in Nemo Rangers. And with me on the line is one of those who's in kind of pole position to join Sean Kelly and return to Europe for the next 5 years. That's Fianna Fáil MEP Billy Kelleher. Billy, good morning to you. Thanks for joining us this morning.
Good morning, Gerry.
Listen, I'm going to say congratulations to you, because to all intents and purposes, it looks like you will be joining Sean Kelly. Kelly, what can you tell me about the latest state of play there? There's a while to go yet, I understand.
Yes, there's a while to go. I'm about 20,000 short of the quota, and then behind me there's five or six people probably in the hunt for the remaining three seats. But I mean, it will take a long time to get to the point where, you know, I reach the quota and others then start to get ahead of the pack as such. So they've eliminated Lorna Bogues, transfers of about 10,000, and they're being distributed as we speak. So you know while the numbers are getting bigger now in terms of the eliminations, last night we were eliminating 3,000 and 4,000 votes at a time. We'll be up to the 15s and the 20,000s by mid morning. So we should get a clearer picture of who's most likely to join Sean Kelly in the European Parliament for the next 5 years.
That is what it's all about. And looking at how the race has gone for you, what sort of a campaign was it for you, Billy? How tough was it to maintain that position there and almost be re-elected?
Well, I mean, you know, you hope that the work that you did over the previous 5 years would give you some impetus going into a campaign. I mean, we were targeting two seats in the constituency, so we had a very clear divide. I was given Cork, Kerry and Limerick County, and then my running mate Cynthia Varacou had the remainder, and then Limerick City was open. So we had a very clear divide of votes and population to ensure that, you know, we could maximise the return for Fianna Fáil. Obviously that's always a high risk. As an individual you're saying, well, you know, if it's only one seat and if you come in level pegging, well then you have a difficulty. But you know, where we've positioned ourselves, gives us a reasonably good chance of that. And that's the hope.
So you got it right, Billy. I mean, looking at the way Fine Gael managed it, they got it wrong with the amount of votes that Sean Kelly had and John Mullins, and how that was maybe the positioning of the candidate maybe further in the east. But Fianna Fáil seemed to have managed this very well to give yourselves the best possible chance of two seats.
Well, look, I mean, I was a director of elections previously for Fianna Fáil in 2016 for the general election, and like all I can say is that in large geographical areas, you know, geography is important as well. And I'm not giving any other party advice, but the reality is there's always geographical factors go into play when you have these huge swathes of land like in Munster and South Leinster. So, I mean, we positioned it at the point that I was in Cork and Cynthia Varacou was in Carlow, Kilkenny, strategically located as well. And then we were able to give a clear divide of the constituency, which gave us the best chance possible. Now, it's still going to be very, very difficult, Jerry. I'm not saying that we are guaranteed two seats by any manner of means, but Cynthia Varacou is in with a very strong chance of taking a seat. There's a lot of votes to be distributed now mid-morning, votes of 20,000 at a time, and that will give us a clearer picture by this evening at 6 o'clock.
Yeah, and that will be important, and that can change things, and things can change dramatically over the next couple of hours, so we'll see what happens then. Billy, are you happy overall with Fianna Fáil's performance in this election, even though the seat numbers are down slightly, the vote is down slightly? I mean, it's been a very successful election from your point of view, given what was predicted and given that you're a party that's been in government for the last 5 years.
Well, yes, look, I mean, we had a very successful general or local elections in 2019. We actually did very well in the locals. Our vote increased. We were about 26%. So that gave us, you know, a very strong base at local government level. The European elections were okay. We won a seat in Dublin and we won a seat in Ireland South, but we failed to take a seat in Midlands and North West. So the European elections at least have rebalanced that, in the sense that we will definitely have three seats, maybe four. But the local elections themselves, I think, were very positive from the Fianna Fáil perspective. Now, it does show certain weaknesses in certain areas, but what it does also show is that Fianna Fáil has representation across the entirety of the country, in every community, and, you know, that is always a base. Political parties are always built from the ground up in Ireland. You know, in other European countries, they can start, you know, just with an idea and a person and build it from the top down. They normally don't last that long and they fade away. But if you want to really embed yourself in communities, you know, you have to have hard-working local authority members, councillors, and an organisation and support base around them. And Fianna Fáil has that. So, I mean, I'm very confident for the future in terms of Fianna Fáil, you know, both at local government level and now facing to a general election as well. It has been a good day, a good result, European and local.
General elections are a different kettle of fish, though. Would you be concerned about, I suppose, what it plays out differently? The mood can change, as we saw from 2019 to 2020.
Oh yes, I mean, there's no doubt. I mean, like, you know, people taking comfort from this alone, saying that this now is basically going to be mirrored, imaged in the general election, you know, will be cutting themselves. We have to remember another fact as well. You know, we're making an assessment based on a turnout of around 50%.
Yeah.
So, I mean, there's half the electorate haven't given any expression at the ballot box. So, you know, we have to be conscious of that as well. And, you know, turnouts always increase for general elections. They can go as high as 67%. You know, if you had a very, very strong sentiment running in the public, you know, you could be very close to 70% turnout. So, you know, what I'm saying is that this gives Fianna Fáil a very strong embedded a number of candidates in communities across the country. But now, you know, once this is over, the focus will immediately turn to the general election. We will have a number of by-elections as well. So, I mean, all these things will come into play in terms of when the election will be called. You know, can it go its full term? You know, will it have the capacity to get to next February? You know, is fighting an election in February a good idea, or versus, you know, in October when the weather might be more favourable? All these things come into play. But look, the most important thing from a Fianna Fáil perspective is we're a centrist party. We live firmly in the centre with our ideas, our philosophy, how we look at society in terms of, you know, social mobility, giving people opportunities, supporting those that need assistance. That's our philosophy. And now what we must build on that is the area of housing, for example, has to be addressed. And there's been huge efforts made. It's possible we'll build over 40,000 units this year. And housing is something that could fracture society, Jerry. If we don't get it right, it could really undermine society. The idea that we would say to a generation of young people that they may never own a home is something that would really debilitate the individual, but also collectively undermine that cohesiveness of society if you say to a generation, you will never own a home. So we have to get to a stage where people can believe
that. That has to be fixed. And maybe that's a problem that's being felt across Europe finally. What sort of a European Union will you possibly be returning to? Billy, the EPP strengthening their hand a little bit, but the far right, anti-climate, anti-European candidates being elected in big numbers.
Yes, I mean, the hope would be that the EPP won't drag itself to the right, to follow the right, if you know what I mean. So, I mean, the EPP have done well, but they did well probably in countries where they have shifted themselves slightly more to the right than, you know, I think even members of the EPP in Ireland would be comfortable with in some countries. Now, I'm not saying the entirety. So the key question is whether EPP will stay, you know, just centre-right, or whether they start moving more to the right in terms of opposition to some of the policies that are being pursued. From my perspective, look, I mean, I'm passionate about Europe. It has served our people and our country exceptionally well. I mean, the best decision we made other than independence was when we voted to join the European Union, and it has served our country in terms of its development, where we positioned ourselves internationally. So I'm passionate about it. So what we must do now is to make sure that Europe stays firmly as a centrist entity. In other words, it doesn't lurch to the right this time round or next time round to the left, and that we try and steer it through these very challenging times. The Ukrainian war and Russia's interference in Europe, all of these things, they are issues that are causing difficulties, because, you know, Putin has done two things. First and foremost, the war itself drove up the cost of living. You just referenced it there previously with O'Sullivan's Bakery. A lot of these things are a consequence of the huge underlying cost of doing business, fuel costs, energy costs, insurance costs, raw material costs. And that is happening across Europe. So there's significant pressure in economies around the cost of doing business, and also for families in the cost of living. And coupled with that, then, the migration issue. And that's where the right really have exploited this. They want to sow seeds of division. They want to pit communities against each other, ethnicities against each other. So we really have to start minding Europe, and we can't just take it for granted. And we saw it only a couple of years ago with Brexit, Jerry. You know, Brexit primarily was about two things, but migration was very much at the heart of it. And we've learned very quickly, and the UK has learned to its enormous cost, that you can't go it alone. You can't go it alone. And if people think that Ireland is a small country can go it alone, they're deluding themselves. We need to be part of something that's big and that's powerful. But equally, we must be comfortable in it. And that means that we must frame it to make sure it suits our values and our principles as a people in terms of being, you know, fair, reasonable, centrist, outward-looking people.
Okay, Billy, listen, we'll leave it there and we'll leave you get back to the comp, but thanks for joining us in the programme this morning. Congratulations again.
Just to congratulate Sean Kelly as well. Sorry, it was an outstanding performance. Reaching the quota or passing the quota on the first count, is something that isn't done too often by people. So just to congratulate him and wish him well and his family well. I know his grandchildren are home from Australia and he's out, so he'll have a bit of family time with him now rather than hanging around Count Center like the rest of us. So well done.
Spot on. All right, Billy, thanks a million. That's Billy Kelleher there of Fianna Fáil. If you have a view on what he had to say about Europe and its direction, get in touch with us in the programme. He's currently sitting on 94,419 votes.